This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them, to bless every one of us and to grant us goodness, to deliver us from all evil, to protect us from all sickness and illness. My brothers and sisters, if you were on your deathbed right now and you had children or grandchildren, or one day when you will be on your deathbed and perhaps you may have a family, children, grandchildren, and so on, what do you think you would do if you knew that now is the time when perhaps I may not make it? We obviously know death and life is in the hands of Allah. What would you do? What do you think you would do? I've asked this question to a few of those I know, and they've given me an answer that perhaps they later realized could have been modified. What was the answer? The answer is, well, I would make sure that I have got my will done. Very good. Your will done? Well done, mashallah. And then they say, I make sure that I have everything in order. They know where is what and what is where I want to be buried, how I want to be, you know, bathed and shrouded and so on, and this detail and that detail. Excellent. Did you know in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very interesting because He wants us to learn from it.
أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ
Or were you present when death came to the Prophet Jacob, Yusuf, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam? Were you there? So Allah is narrating because He's telling us, we want to tell you what happened at the time of his death, when he was about to die, on his deathbed.
إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي
Amazing. He had his children around him and he asked them one simple question. Imagine the man is about to leave. He's about to go. He says, what will you worship after me? La ilaha illallah. What is it that you're going to believe in after me? Which Lord will you worship after me? They said,
قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَٰهَ آبَائِكَ
We will worship the Lord that you have worshipped and your forefathers have worshipped. Allah, إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا The one and only, the maker, the creator, etc., etc. One and only. Now, the reason I started this way is because my brothers, my sisters, in our lives, many of us, we know that living this life is a struggle. And if I were to ask you, how's things? First thing you would say, in this country, shukr. Right or wrong? No matter what you're going through, people would say, shukr. Some would say, alhamdulillah. Even if you're struggling, that's a good answer for a mu'min. But in your mind, let's be honest, you're talking about your job, your business, you're talking about your income, you're talking about your livelihood, you're talking about safety, security. How many of us actually only respond based on the deen? How many of us, based on the fact that we have freedom of worship, subhanallah, we have the ability to worship Allah and to behave and fulfill life as a Muslim. For that, we should say, couldn't be better. Walillahi alhamdu wal minna. Make use of what you have. You know, if you're a businessman in a certain field and there is a big deal that's going to happen, even though you're a wealthy businessman, you would want to make sure you've got the deal because you don't want to lose out on that business. Say you're a multi-millionaire in the timber business and there is a massive deal and a contract coming for a huge place that needs to be put up and so on. You would put in your tender, you would make sure you go in, you want to make sure. And subhanAllah, if you got it, you would be so, so excited and happy. And you would say to yourself, mashallah, I've achieved. Wallahi, my brothers, my sisters, we
As much as we are taught that halal income is very important, sometimes we tend to forget what is even more important. If you didn't have the wealth you have, and if you didn't have the positions or the jobs or the homes or the families, but you achieve the pleasure of Allah, wallahi, you have succeeded. And if you have all of that, like I said, with none of the pleasure of Allah, you have failed. If you have all of that, no pleasure of Allah, you have failed. So let's understand, when they were on their deathbeds, they were only concerned about the deen. What legacy have I left behind? Not in terms of wealth. People say this man left behind a lot. I promise you, to this day, I still have to see any family that four generations of their children have enjoyed the wealth of that great-great-grandfather. I have not seen one in my life. Subhanallah. Maybe, I don't know, you might want to correct me. But usually second, third generation, the way things go, pear-shaped families break up, they stop talking to each other, all because of money, wealth. That's why I just leave behind a little bit less. Leave them with the deen, the character, the conduct. So I want to speak to you about something interesting in the next few minutes. My duty is to help and assist. I'm on earth. I will worship Allah, and together with worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am taught to serve the creatures of Allah that Allah will dangle in front of me. When I say dangle in front of me, Allah chooses who you're going to interact with, not by mistake, simply because He wants to watch what you're going to do with that person, to that person, or how you're going to treat them and so on. You have a worker working for you. Allah planned it before you were born, that this person's going to come. They're going to steal from you. They're going to do this bad and that bad. What is your reaction? That's all. We knew this was going to happen. La ilaha illallah. Have you thought of it? You are married to someone. Allah already knew that. Just in order to test you, how will you treat her or him? How will you treat the families, the folks? You know, yes, our in-laws. There's always a question about in-laws, in-laws. I'd be honest with you. In-laws are lovely people as well. Aren't we in-laws? Mashallah. I do have some who call me father-in-law, mashallah, because some of my children are married. I would like them to think of me as a good person. The problem is there is a stigma attached to that term, right? We need to make sure we understand it's a test for all parties to be the best possible version of themselves. My duty unto Allah is not just worshipping Allah in terms of salah and zakah and in terms of fasting and so on, without being concerned about how I treat the creatures of Allah. When I reach out to people, I need to remember two things. Now we have this issue of COVID, for example. Look at the volunteers. Look at the people within this masjid. May Allah accept it. It's our duty to contribute towards it. This is a cost. It's an expense. If I use the masjid, minimum, I need to pay $1 for the Jum'ah Salah. And yet the value of the Jum'ah Salah is far beyond. It's not compulsory. I'm only saying, in your mind, you should think to yourself, they've used this facility for me. I've used that. There's lights that's happening. There's this that's happening. Surely I must not make it someone else's expense. I, for one, having thought a lot and hard about the usage of the facility of a masjid, I've tried to make it my business that if I use a masjid, I give back to that masjid. Do you know why? I don't want my salah to have been facilitated by a rich man who donated to the masjid. For what? I am here. I want to give myself. I used worth about how much? I don't even know. At least I've given back. Subhanallah. So here we have volunteers. It's just an example, my brothers and sisters. It's nothing compulsory. It's only an example. Here we have volunteers. What are they doing? They're reaching out to people to facilitate something. Subhanallah. I see the sound improved because one of my brothers just entered the masjid. Must have pulled the strings, mashallah. May Allah bless you. So immediately, my beloved brothers and sisters, we think of helping, and it's a good thing. But help is two things, not just worldly help. You don't just give food and drink to people. It's important, I agree. But you have to give them a good message. You have to give them the deen. No ways that you can actually be a Muslim and not convey part of your deen to others, they will catch you on the day of Qiyamah. You interacted with me, you gave me food, you gave me drink, you were so nice to me, you were kind to me, you taught me good character, good conduct, but you never ever told me to worship my Maker alone, not to associate partners with Allah, to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You never corrected me when I was wrong. That was more important than the charity that you gave. Do you realize this? Because if a person died as a result of hunger, may Allah never do that to any one of us or anyone else. May we always be there for people by the help of Allah. But if someone were to die, for example, but they gained the hereafter, in actual fact, they haven't really lost. But if someone were to live a long life full of food and drink and mashallah, leisure and pleasure, as they say, and then that person were to lose the hereafter, they've lost everything. So what is more important? Surely you can give a message. So what I want to say is, my brothers and sisters, while we are helping people with water, with drink, with food, with so much more, you need to understand, underlying, you must help them with a good message of the deen of Allah. You must. And in order to be able to achieve that correctly, we need to look within ourselves to begin with, to rectify the weaknesses we have. Every one of us here today, and every one of us who may listen to this message later, we must admit we have weaknesses. We must identify those weaknesses. It might be yelling, screaming, shouting. It could be drugs, gambling, whatever else. It could be adultery. It could be so much more. Identify your weakness within yourself. Promise Allah you're going to work on it and start now. That's success. True success is when you are moving closer to Allah. Today, I decided I'm stopping to swear. Subhanallah. I met a friend of mine after a long time, a few weeks ago, and he told me good news. I said, what? He said, I quit smoking. In my mind, I said, mashallah, brilliant news. Imagine if a person never read salah and suddenly they tell you, good news, I started doing salah. Whoa, that's even better news. Don't you agree? A person who would tell you, good news, you know what? I used to be an alcoholic, I quit it. Subhanallah, that's amazing news. Someone hooked onto pornography, they say, I've stopped it. That is beautiful news. Subhanallah, we are talking business. It's more important than food and drink. Because food and drink, without it, something will happen. Subhanallah, you may lose this world, but you won't lose the hereafter. But if you don't have that connection with Allah that you're going to need to get into Jannatul Firdaus, subhanallah, there is going to be a big disaster on that day. That's why if you look at Revelation, whether it is the Torah, the Talmud, the Injil, all the books that were revealed to the previous prophets, as well as the Quran, and we take cue from the Quran, every time Allah speaks of the greatest success, He speaks of the success of the hereafter. He speaks of the success of the hereafter. So may Allah make it easy for every one of us to earn a halal living. May Allah make it easy for every one of us to correct ourselves, improve ourselves on a daily basis, especially with those whom Allah has allowed you to interact with, starting with your own family members. And may Allah make it such that when we help people, we don't only give them material items, but we give them that which is far more important than material items, together with the material items, and that is the acquaintance of Allah. When someone looks at you, they should immediately think of Allah. What does that mean? You talk to them, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, you looked at them. What does that mean? May the peace and blessings of who? Of Allah be upon you. You mentioned Allah as soon as you started. You know, if I were to tell you, Assalamu alaikum, it's a sunnah, right? I'm greeting you. May peace be upon you. If I want a greater reward, what do I have to say? I add a little bit on top of that. According to the sunnah, wa rahmatullahi. Now I've said the name of Allah while I'm addressing you. While I'm greeting you, I've added the name of Allah. What happened? Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. I am reminding you that mercy comes from Allah. That's what it is. Where does mercy come from? I want mercy. So it goes to show that if you want true contentment, reach out to people in both ways, materially as well as religiously. Religiously meaning you're giving them the deen and you building your own hereafter by giving them something that is far more important than the need of this world that they have right now, although they are both important. But we are just prioritizing here. And this is Allah. And then what we need to remember, and this is something I've always said, and I always make sure, even within myself, that I'm conscious of it. Anyone you interact with, even in the slightest way, even a vehicle that must be behind you on the highway, like the one that was behind me on the highway just now, flashing his lights, telling me to get out of the way. Even that vehicle, how you react was already something Allah wanted to just watch and write it next to your name. From the beginning to the end of your life, every single thing that happens to you, it's just Allah. He knows it was going to happen. He planned it. He decided it's going to be there. It came, and all he is doing is just watching. What do you do? The angels write it down. We'll meet on the day of judgment to show you what happened. The result of your test, your exam. That's it. So at home, many of us become ugly with our words and don't realize we're speaking to our sisters. You know, my own sister, for example, my brother. And we don't think of how we're talking, but Allah planned. That's your sister. That's your brother. Let's see, when your father passes away, may Allah grant all those fathers who've passed away, Jannatul Firdaus, and parents. How will you manage things? Are you going to cheat them? Are you going to deceive them? You're going to break relations? It's okay. Allah's watching. You've got to do the right thing. That's all. If you did the wrong thing, it's going to be written next to your name, and you're still going to see, you know, the negative effect of it in this world and the next. But Allah wants you, my brothers, my sisters, to do the right thing. Your father, your mother, even if they're not Muslim, Allah made that person your mother and your father. There's nothing you were ever going to do about it. Allah's just watching. What are you going to do? I had a person tell me, you know, my father is trying to force me out of Islam and I'm a Muslim. The father was another religion. And I said, you know what, my dear child, respect the man as a father, but you don't have to obey where they're instructing you against Allah. Kindness to parents is something that we have to understand. There's no excuse not to be kind. You hear what I say? You have to be kind to your parents, no matter what. Allah speaks about bil walidaini ihsana, be kind to your parents. And so, subhanallah, it's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not told us to obey them, especially where the instruction is actually against the command of Allah. I see the time has actually run out, and inshallah, we hope and pray that Allah bless us and grant us ease and goodness. Like I say, just to recap on the message, the concern we should be having primarily is the concern of our connection with Allah over and above and before that which is material in this world. Although it is important to earn a halal sustenance, we'll also get a reward for it. And when we are helping people, don't just help them materially, but give them also a portion of the knowledge that Allah may have blessed you with. Whether it is more or less, at least they go back with a good message, and at least they can change their lives, if Allah wills, by a good word or a good message from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us primarily with our own families and children, and then with the rest of the community and all those across the globe. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.